B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Audie, it's 3:08, a little late in the 3 o'clock hour. Reminder, Rich Hoffman, who covers the Sixers, will join us. So we get more Sixer chatter coming up at 3:30. The 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Court Police Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit as good. All right, you just heard Brett Brown. Your thoughts on that, Tyrone? You just heard Coach talk about various things. Doesn't like to talk about Ben Simmons too much, but I had to go there.
Yeah, you had to. You had a responsibility to. He handled it. I tell you what, he handles things better than the football coach as far as his answers go. That way, he's much better at it than that. But what the most significant thing to me was is the thing that I've said a lot and you've said a lot. When you're not the guy in the post, where are you? Mm-hmm. When someone else is dribble driving, where are you? And that's my issue. That's my issue with Ben Simmons, and this is why it drives me nuts, is the fans will call you all day, all week, all year, and be post up, and be post up, and be post up. Hard to post up when Ben, with his where are you, is right next to him.
Yes. And in that dunker spot.
And that's why he would make the team better if he was willing to shoot, because it would create space for Tobias and Embiid and for Horford and everybody else. So the coach is in a tough spot because he knows it would help them. But at the same time, he plays that great floor game. So you can't just eliminate him.
No.
You're in a tough spot.
You can't eliminate him. And there's no question in my mind that it was a reflection of his frustration over this thing. Because a lot of people are the impression they don't tell him to shoot. Of course they do.
All the time.
So they're like, their face is ready to explode. So why would you go public? Because you go, I might as well try this. You know? He might get mad at me. And that's why I kind of feel like, well, did he have a reaction to you going public? Because Ben's that type of guy, you know, so you're kind of taking a risk. But I guess he figured, you know, what the hell?
He has been, it seems like, a more mature Ben Simmons this year overall.
Yeah.
Still not shooting, but he's handled his things better in general, handling the Australia fly. It does seem like he might be growing up some. Mm-hmm. Maybe just took it in stride, like, because at this point, they're yelling at him at the arena to shoot. So what if the coach says something?
But again, it's my biggest fear was, for spite, he won't shoot it now.
I don't think it's spite. I think it's whatever's in his mind that keeps him from shooting.
All right. Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey.
What's up, Greg?
Well, I was just, we were talking, and I was trying to figure out whether the Sixers' defensive intensity caused the Celtics to get out of their rhythm, because they obviously didn't shoot the ball as well later in the game. Yeah. Maybe they just got tired.
Well, it's possible. It's like fifth game in 7 days is a dynamic, and back-to-back, it's a dynamic that doesn't favor the team in the end, the team that's tired. So, yeah, they may have. But the Sixers, I thought, really amped up their defense to get them out of
stuff. Yeah, they did. They did. Everybody had a hand in the lane. They were moving their feet. They weren't standing around. You know, it was good to see. And I wanted to commend you on your interview with the coach. You know, I thought you probed as hard as you could on Ben, and got some information. That was good.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, I was looking at the box score last night, and you can see, like, the Boston guys that played well early didn't play well late. Like, Kemba Walker was on fire. He missed some shots. He got a little worn down. Tatum was 4 for 13. Jaylen Brown was horrendous at 2 for 12. And Ben was part of all that. If you did, you know, he was on all those guys last night at times.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it happens at a Leprechaun, because I love to see them lose. But I actually was wanted to touch on the Flyers game the other night.
Mm-hmm.
I was really impressed with their energy against the Caps. You know, I think they played as good a game as I've seen them play this year. Of course, they had great goaltending. You know, Carter Hart he stood on his head.
yes, he did stand on his head.
You know, do you think that's part of the process?
It's part of the process. Yes. They're a young team, and they're going to have to blend. And they had extra energy because they had coming off from some losses. They were home, and it was a dynamic that suited them to go out there. And they're playing a team that they had to play hard against. So,
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good stuff by the Flyers. Hopefully they can keep it going. But like I said, this is a team that's going to be inconsistent at times, especially on the road. They're younger, and their veteran leadership is okay. It's not overwhelmingly great. Damon in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Damon.
Hey, Mike, happy Friday to you.
What's
everybody.
Up, Dame? How you doing?
Good, man. Before I get to my Sixers point, real quick, Mike, even when Doug made that comment the other day, I still, and I'm being honest, I believe this, the Eagles were going to release those guys. And the reason why I say that is because, and correct me if I'm wrong, I remember when Doug was hired, Eagles management picked Frank Reich and Schwartz, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. as far as like their offense and defensive coordinators,
yes.
and not Doug. So, listen, I'm not a coach, obviously, but they saw what we saw. So I wasn't surprised by the moves in which they made. So
I wasn't surprised. The only thing that surprised me was the awkwardness of the whole thing where the guy says they're both going to be back.
Yeah.
This is a declarative statement. And I go, what?
Yeah, and, yeah, he fumbled at the press conference without a doubt. But they corrected it. Mike, I'm upset, Mike. And you're my guy. You're doing good. It's just that, listen, I know the Sixers, right? I know we're working in progress. But, man, just the criticism of this team. Like, I watched NBC Sports, right? I love Ala and Zoo and all those guys. So before I went to the Sixers post game, I listened to Charles and them on the post. You would have swore we lost. I mean, here's the thing. The Sixers, we know, need to improve on the road. I think that, I mean, they share the best record, home record with Milwaukee. When you look at this team, Mike, the biggest problem, when they did it last night, so the last, and Ala touched on it, when they were cutting and everything in the beginning of the game, and then they lead, right? And they cut into that lead right before halftime. They started moving the ball. When this team moves the ball, Mike, and their defense is sound, they can't be stopped. It's when they try to do the one-on-one stuff and they go away from that format is when I find that they get themselves.
Well, but you have to keep in mind that that team that you saw last night, not going to be a playoff team. Embiid's going to be in the mix. So that they're going to have to figure that out, that whole part of that Ben dynamic with Embiid, the Horford dynamic with Embiid. Last night was just like a candy game. You know, they had to play at a certain pace to take advantage of what their personnel is. But their playoff-ready team is going to have the big center.
No, I agree, and that's what I'm saying. Even when Embiid is there, and when he's been, you know, prior to him getting hurt, when they would move that ball, they were sound. But the criticism of the team, man, is just
well, you know what that's from, though. The criticism comes from the expectation. This town wants this team to win something. They don't want them to be a fifth seed. They want them to get into a spot where they play for the Eastern Conference Championship, and then get to. I don't think anybody thinks they're going to win an NBA championship, but. You have to expect that they would, the expectations were to get past where you were last year. So that's where everybody's judging it. It's not like they're trying to bury their team. They're burying the team in the context of what we expect this team to be.
Now hold on, Mike. I had people suggesting to me at halftime of the Sixers game that they tank.
What?
Uh-huh.
What do you mean?
More than one. Shut it down. Oh, they're losing the ball. They were down 7, by the way.
Yeah. I read the same tweets. This coach, I can't handle
it. That's in game.
The game has to play out. Right.
Right.
Well, yeah, I get that. That's just overzealous people, you know, and that's a tweet that doesn't age well. Yeah. You know, when you start tweeting that kind of stuff,
yeah, like, and then
doesn't age well.
Another guy saying that, you know, the shutdown on the season, and that's the stuff. Like, Sixers fans have become so rabidly stupid at times, some of them, that it's bad. And it's worse than Eagles fans, worse than Phillies fans, worse than Flyers uh-huh. fans. I think it's because of the process that they stopped watching and now they're back and they're really, really hungry, mm-hmm. but they've lost their minds. And no matter what, one missed shot, trade this guy.
Yeah.
There's a sector that's going nuts.
Yes. Now, I'll say this. It still doesn't change my mind. Whatever they do with this team, doesn't change my mind about what the end product has to be. The end product has to be they have to add somebody else who can actually, you can count on an every night basis to make some shots. They don't, like last night, for example. All right, Ennis made a couple. Korkmaz made 3. Scott made a big one, right? That's not going to, you can't count on that happening every game. You need to be able to count on something every game. Those guys are hit or miss guys. And then the Korkmaz, did you see? He was horrendous in the first half. horrendous.
Terrible in the first half. Terrible.
Really?
And he made those threes, and we're yelling at NBC Sports Philly, take him out. And then right after that, Ben Simmons is streaking. Throw him a bounce pass. Instead, he throws the bad alley-oop.
Yes, and then he trails
and
the
then
play.
Trails, and then fouls an and-one Kemba on your five-point
exactly.
swing.
Exactly, that's where he trailed.
And then he finally got him out of the game.
Yeah, I'm saying, watch him trail a screen instead of fighting through.
Uh-huh. And then boom, and-one.
And so you can't, like, I know there are people, oh, quarterbacks can make some three. Okay, but you're not training your eyes on the entire game. He's not reliable enough to count on in major situations where you need buckets. Nor is Ennis, nor is Scott. Okay, players. Not difference enough players. We're talking about a big prize here. Tony in York, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony.
Yes, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Tony?
Listen, that was a great interview that you had with Brett Brown, and I'm so glad that you brought up Norvell Pell, because I always think that this guy should be out there and believing in B for 10, 15 minutes a game, because he is a rim protector. He can finish at the basket, and I think this guy should be playing a little bit more than he does.
Yeah, I don't know. I think in dribs and drabs, to change the energy, I think he's good. I think you can overuse a guy like that.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying 10 minutes a game. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
No, I'm good with that. Now, he brought up Noel, who did that kind of rim protection energy, and Rashawn Holmes used to bring that kind of energy at times, so he could block a shot, he could get an alley-oop dunk. Pell gives you that burst of energy. So, yeah, to me, is he better than using the other guy, Quinn? Yeah, probably. So they're going to have to probably keep him.
Okay, well, I have an Eagles question real quick.
Yes.
I'm a diehard Carson Wentz fan. What happened to Carson Wentz? We've been over this stuff. We're not going to go through that. But as far as the back of it is concerned, what do you think about just trading a 6th-round pick to Miami and go bring Rosen in here?
Josh Rosen?
Yeah. He's a young quarterback. His career has been really messed up from where he's been at. And I think a stable situation, and I think the Eagles would give him a stable situation that he can come in when we need something. I think Rosen would be a perfect backup quarterback, and it wouldn't cost much.
I don't hate it. I think that they would look more like a veteran guy who's played a little bit more in the league as their backup to Carson Wentz.
Okay, well,
Wentz is going to be there for a long period of time. You have a young guy back there. I don't know if that works.
Okay.
All right.
That's what I'm going to
do. All right. Josh Rosen. Huh?
I'd be all right with it.
Yeah.
Young guy. No, the people aren't going to call for him, but he's probably better pedigree than Sudfeld.
Yeah.
Sudfeld's going to walk. You can get him for nothing.
You think Sudfeld can leave that Surface Pro spot, at bench spot, and leave his buddy?
It'll be Josh in that spot.
I know, but I'm saying like Sudfeld might want to just stay here and do the Surface Pro thing.
I actually think someone will pay Sudfeld to be a backup.
Really?
Not a lot. I'm saying he will be. I don't think the Eagles are going to pay him. So do you want to stay here for free? We'd love to have you. Or would you like to, you know, as like a grad assistant type, but in the NFL, or would you like to go make money?
Could be traumatic for my man.
Separated from his bestie?
You know.
To leave that Surface Pro spot.
They're good friends. You don't like that they're good friends?
No, I think it's great.
So you don't think it's
great? No, you don't think it's great.
Why? They're friends.
I'm just saying, he might want to stay in that capacity.
It's nice to have a pal.
Keep his bestie around.
Why do you not friendship?
It's not friendship. It's just like he's like a barnacle.
He's not a barnacle.
He's your best friend.
Yep.
It's a barnacle. He's attached to him all the time. It's weird.
They're pals.
What is this?
What? They're friends.
All right. Well, good. That's what I'm saying. They're friends.
Everybody needs a friend. I'm saying he's got a friend in me.
Maybe he wants to stay here with his friend.
Maybe he does.
610-632-0975. Good calls. We'll get qualified. I have to keep reminding myself. Yeah, good calls to be qualified for a pair of Sixers tickets. All right, that's my bad, because we had a couple calls there. Rich Hoffman's coming up also at 3:30. It's the Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, it's 3:31 on Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5, The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Let's get some more conversation on your Philadelphia 76ers. The man who covers the Sixers for The Athletic on the Comcast Business Hotline, Rich Hoffman, joins us. Rich, what does last night's game say to you about this team?
Well, it says that they're in the process of turning the tables on the Boston Celtics. I think at this time last year, you know, the Celtics were a team in turmoil, and they still had the Sixers' number, and it's kind of a little bit the opposite this year. I wouldn't say the Sixers are in quite as much turmoil as Boston was last season, but they have been good against the good teams, and even without Joel Embiid, they have kind of a style and an identity that they can be successful against them.
Okay, outside the Boston box, what do you see about this team? They have to carry on now for at least 4 weeks without their center, play a different way, and then try to re-blend the center with everybody else, which seemed to have its snags early in the year.
I wouldn't even say early in the year. I'd say throughout the year. Yeah, I think that's the biggest worry about this team right now. Obviously, they are jockeying for playoff position, and they're a few games behind, you know, the second and third seeds, and those seeds are important. You don't want to play Milwaukee in the second round if you have your choice. I think the biggest concern, though, is what you said. They're losing, you know, probably a month of trying to iron out this starting lineup scoring. When you look at the metrics and how poorly they have scored with that supersized starting lineup, when you just watch them, clunky is the word that comes to mind. Maybe that's even putting it too politely. It can be plotting at times. So they have this style that they can use in the 4 weeks or so that Embiid misses time, but how much time do you have to figure that out before the playoffs? Because that's, you know, with those five players, with Embiid and Horford and Simmons playing together, that's how you're going to have to win in the playoffs. And what they're going to do over the next month is probably only going to be, you know, a couple minutes a game during the playoffs.
Yes. So what does that mean? Are you optimistic that they can reach us to click a finger level and get into the playoffs with everybody going on? We just had Brett Brown on. He said, in a way, this is going to help relight the flame of Al Horford. And so when Embiid comes back, the confidence level of Al will be high and that will blend.
Yeah, maybe, but I mean, I think he knows better than anybody that they're going to use Al differently. Like I was watching, you know, during the game last night, they were running a lot of the same plays that they've been running with the starting lineup, but the key difference was that Al Horford was in Joel Embiid's spot. You know, when he had that post up against Daniel Tice and he put him under the basket, which was pretty cool to see that Al still has that in him. That is a play they run for Joel. All of those pick and rolls that they run for Josh Richardson, instead of spacing in the opposite corner, Al Horford was the pick and pop guy. And of course he's going to be better when that happens, but it's not like when Joel Embiid comes back, you're going to say, all right, we're going to run the offense throughout, Joe. You're going to stand in the opposite corner. Like, he's clearly your best player. You're going to play through him. I think it's a little bit of an issue, Mike. They want to, you know, as maybe Brett might put a spin on it, they have not solved how to score with that starting lineup. And, you know, it is what it is. They're going to miss a lot of time without Joe here.
Josh Richardson, big game last night. And a lot of people think that this may be that Josh Richardson reaching a different level in his game and evolving into a better player than he's been. What did you say?
Yeah, I mean, he has a lot of space to move. It's not just Al who has more space. He has been very good, particularly in the pick and roll over the past couple of nights. And one of the ways they have done it is that they've had Ben Simmons screen for him. And I think for all of Joel's gifts, he's the best post-up player in the league by a mile. Ben is, A, he's a better screener, and B, he's a better roller. And when you're able to put that level of shooting around Josh and Ben, Josh is, you know, he can get into that mid-range game and make some jumpers. I thought in last night's game there was a stretch, especially in the beginning of the fourth quarter. Brett put out a lineup where Josh was the only starter on the floor. And he made three big buckets playing with, like, Korkmaz and Norvell Pell and those guys. He is he's a little bit inconsistent. I don't think he can be your number one option in the playoffs, but as we've seen, you know, he had a great game when Miami came back here and exploded. He is capable of carrying you offensively when he's got it going.
All right. Couple things now with this team. Pell got some minutes last night. He's given them some energy. I don't know how long that will last. I don't even know if they think he will be in the picture. But has he surpassed O'Quinn maybe as a guy who can contribute as they come down the stretch?
Yeah. I think before the game, Brett talked about how valuable O'Quinn is off the court and all these things. Well, the story is that he is playing Pell at every chance he can over O'Quinn at this point. And I don't know what that means for the roster. I don't know if it's Jonah Bolden, maybe it's Howell Meadow, but they have about five more days. I forget the exact number that they can fill out Pell in his two-way contract.
Yeah.
They, you know, just watching how he has played, the energy that he gives them, they are going to have to make a move with one of those other guys and sign him to a contract because, you know, they're not going to have Embiid for a few weeks now. And it's clear that Pell, you know, he makes a lot of mistakes defensively, but he just gives them energy. And he gives them a guy who is a vertical spacer on the pick and roll. Tobias had a nice lob to him in that game. That's kind of a different element that even Joel gives them. And then defensively, he's a better rim protector than even Al is at this point. So, yeah, I would expect him to still be in the fold come next week.
Talking to Rich Hoffman, he covers the Sixers, the Athletic. Rich, what was your read on the fact that Brett, a little out of character, twice discussing Ben Simmons, one saying he wants him to shoot 1-3 games, second time saying, I have failed on my mission to do that. he hadn't been public. Is that a reflection, you think, of exasperation that I might as well try this?
I think it was just a motivational tactic. And, you know, he's not the only person who has referenced Ben Simmons shooting publicly in, I don't know, past month or so.
Yeah.
Elton Brand on Christmas Day, we asked him, and he was pretty honest about it. Yeah, he's not working on it during the regular season. I mean, kind of, what are we doing here? And Embiid, with a kind of, he slipped in a veiled remark about some people need to get out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
Pretty clear who he was talking about on that one. I think everybody in that organization went into space the floor, and it's pretty frustrating because last night's game, I thought Ben Simmons was spectacular. Like, his defensive, the level he's got on the defensive end of the floor is pretty crazy right now. This is a guy who a lot of people questioned his defense at LSU, and was he interested in playing to both sides of the floor. If he doesn't make an all-defense team, I don't know what, you know, what the voters are doing. He guards everybody. He guards, you know, Jason Tatum is kind of child's play for him. He can guard James Harden. He can guard Jimmy Butler. He can guard 1 through 4, the other team's best player, and he's doing it really well. But it comes back to the question that you started with, how are they going to figure out how to score with this starting lineup? Well, they need him to space the floor and stand in the opposite corner and be willing to shoot that shot he takes all the time during pregame warmups, and he just flat out hasn't done it. And so when Brett says he has failed, I can't argue with that.
All right, last question. Does this team, in your opinion, need something else to be an Eastern Conference championship contender? Another player, someone off the bench who can add offense, whatever you see.
I think it would help for sure. I mean, it's hard to definitively say, you know, would it put them over the top? The problem is they are a little bit constrained in what they can give up. They only have, you know, the two matching salaries that are the obvious are Mike Scott and Zaire Smith. That only gets you to about $7 million. You can throw some sort of minimum contracts as well in there. They also have some luxury tax concerns. I think they would like to stay under that line, so they don't want to add a ton of money because they're about to become a very expensive team in the next couple of years, and they don't want to start the clock on the over-repeater tax. But, yeah, I think, you know, whatever they can get in terms of whether it's a shooter, I think even a ball handler and a pick-and-roll player might even be more useful, but those guys are hard to get, especially at the salary that they're shopping at. So, yeah, it would certainly help, but it depends on who they can get.
In their current form, can they win the East?
Their current form, do they win the East? No, because they're going to have to play three tough series, and I would bet against it. Although, the problem is with this team, right? I'm not sure I love their consistency. I don't love their playoff positioning. The problem is, that Christmas Day game, they matched up with Milwaukee beautifully. And I don't think that's going to change. They've owned Boston, who's been the second-best team in the East. I think even though they've lost a couple games against Miami, they would win that series. So, this is the weirdest team in the league. They're not consistent. I'm not sure they can score, but they've also proved they could beat good teams. But if you maybe pick, are they going to win? No.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Rich, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Mike.
That's Rich Hoffman covering the Sixers for The Athletic. And right now, as we stand, the Sixers are in fifth spot in the standings. Still that first round match with Toronto, and then it would be your Bucks in the second round.
Too early for me to worry about that.
What?
43 games.
You know me, I'm worried about the playoffs. The only thing that counts to me.
Yeah, but 43 games.
I get you.
What's the gap between them and two?
I'm just looking at it now. I'm playoff obsessed.
I can't be.
610-632-0975 is how you get in. One open line. Again, callers, good callers, will qualify for a pair of Sixers tickets.
And it's not just six, but it's a suite with
us. Suite. We'll be in the suite.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. It is. They are suite tickets.
Yeah. With us.
And the pass is included parking pass.
Yep.
Remember who showed up last time? I mean, I don't know if he's coming this time. No,
again.
I know.
AI.
That was like a life moment for me.
Yes. Yeah. You never know who's going to pop in. Mike Missinelli, show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
350. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Sixers sweep passes from this point on, if I can remember.
It's gonna be a party.
Yes. We've had good calls all day today, so I assume we're gonna have more good calls, and you'll qualify for the Sixers sweep tickets with us.
Yeah, I'll be
there
for
you. Pair today, pair Monday, pair Tuesday. Two pair Tuesday.
We got a wild card.
What do you mean?
We have four pairs, 3 days.
Four pairs in 3 days.
So we could wild card. It could be maybe a second place person from a different day. You never know.
Are you going to play a sounder?
No.
Oh.
Not till Tuesday.
All right.
Not till Tuesday.
You know.
Although, I have been looking for an excuse to play the Titan up.
Well, how about the Sixers? The Clap Your Hands song.
But isn't that like property of the midday show?
Well, it might be, but it might be a good sounder. Like, if you think it's a really good call, you might want to hit it and we'll qualify.
Or what about, do we have any like AI clips?
I mean, I'm sure, but.
It's Phony to Me Too. Let me play that one.
I'll
see what we can find.
All right, let's go Sharif in Nicetown. Sharif, you're a nice M5 fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, Mike and Miss?
What's up, Sharif?
Money and time, my man. First and foremost, I want to say that you guys do a fantastic job you know, from a technology point of view. You know, your hour-by-hour podcast updates are, like, unparalleled. Not just in Philly media, but nationally. So whoever does those updates are timely. It's very well appreciated, and you guys look fantastic.
Thank you. And then, of course, members of our staff that varies from day to day, right? Today, who's doing that?
Josh is back there today.
Good work, Josh.
You guys do a great job. Before I get to my main point, Tyrone said something that someone recommended tanking, but that person must not know that tanking is effectively dead, killed by silver. But ironically, silver runs the only sport out of the major four where the lowest seed has never won a championship because of lack of parity, even though they have a 16-team playoff structure. So the fact that we can't tank or any other teams can no longer try to tank for that is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now to my main point, Tyrone said something yesterday. I wanted to call in and wasn't able to get into it, but I also heard a little bit about this today, that we want to try to seek an OC that possibly can help Doug with play calling. But I think that Doug is a fantastic play caller. Okay, so a lot of people don't understand the context combating weekly defensive schemes, and a lot of people don't watch all 22 or follow anyone on Twitter that breaks all 22 down. But given with all the injury rules that the Eagles had, we were still 12th in scoring, 4th on 3rd down, 4th on 1st down, 11th in passing, and 11th in rushing. Playing with primary a preseason squad. Did you know that everybody on the Eagles offensive side, except for Samalo, Kelsey, and Wentz, missed significant regular season time? And under those circumstances, Doug still performed beautifully as a play caller. So Dougie took a 40-year-old career backup and high school football coach who has never seen a playoff game, 15 yards from tying and possibly winning that game in overtime with a hamstring that was busted. 4 out of 11 starters are on that field in the first place, and McCown still had 75% completion rate.
Hey, yeah, they're carried away here, bro. I'll be honest with you. They got five times they got inside the 30 or 25, and they didn't do anything from that point.
I don't think
he's a fantastic play caller, because you go in the middle of the season, they didn't start varying the attack until they were in desperate straits. They didn't move the pocket. They didn't use the flat. They didn't use the screen. He kept trying to do the same things with inferior talent. I don't think that makes you a fantastic play caller.
I think that Doug tries to always, he does try to use his talent when he bases off of the weeks prior. And when he gets in game, he tries to adjust. I think that he may adjust a little slowly than we would like.
Yeah, listen, you have a higher opinion than I do as a play caller. I don't think he's a bad coach, certainly. I think he's a good coach for this team, and he proved that towards the end. But I wouldn't call him a fantastic play caller. Would you?
I would not. I think he's a great motivator.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a decent play caller. I don't think he's a bad play caller.
Yeah, not a bad play caller.
But I think his best thing is clearly he's a leader, because these guys never quit on him.
Yeah.
I value that. I think he's a good head coach.
Yeah.
But if you tell me, oh, Caldwell has to call the plays and Doug's position, I'm like, you better let him call the plays. That guy knows how to call plays.
Okay. All right, so we'll take a break. We'll come back. We're going to roll in 4 o'clock hour. If you didn't hear the interview with Brett Brown, we're going to play again in 4 o'clock hour, at least part of it, so you can get some answers and the questions that I think you should know, the answers that you should know as a Sixer fan. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show right here on 97.5 Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.